you have to truly love a person, even if he's a 100% kofel. A person now desecrates Shabbat, makes a joke out of Hashem, spits at the Torah, talking about a Jew. You still have to love him. The only thing you are obligated in hating is his acts, but not his neshama.
And like, what do you mean by love? I mean, it's very hard to love a person.
It's hard to love a person that does exactly what you do. That's our main avodah, is when, you know, why did Hashem put us all together? If you're looking at everything that Hashem, how He structured the world, is for us to come to a point that I have to tolerate other people. If not, Hashem would create thousands of islands and put each one on an island. But Hashem created in a way that it's not like that. That I have to daven in a minyan. That everything is that I have to. Family, structure, everything. Why? So I can develop the love to another person, even though I don't agree with his hashkafa, even though I'm not happy with his behavior. We have to arouse the love for the nitzotz eloki that's in his body. For his acts, I don't have to have it like his acts. I can look now at somebody who does sins. I have a chiyuv, I have obligation, I have to tell him what you're doing now is wrong, but I have to do it only with love. And you see that when I'm doing a tochecha, proving somebody that it's not coming from a place of love, then the reaction I'm going to get is a fight. Who are you to tell me what to do? Because when I come in with my ego, I'm smarter than you, I'm better than you, my hashkafa is more right than you, I'm not coming with love, I'm coming with ego. That's why we see that the ultimate person that used to do peace between Adam l'chavero was Aaron HaKohen. He was the ultimate symbol of peace and ultimate symbol of love. And when he came to do peace between Adam l'chavero, he did it with only with love. There was no ego here. There was no hate here. So if I'm coming to prove now to a person that he's doing something wrong, if I'm coming only with emotion of love because I totally want to help that person, the reaction is going to be completely different. That's why you see that many people, they don't appreciate the rabbis that are giving too much musar, because they're saying, why are you telling me what to do? Who are you to tell me what to do? Why? Because if the musar is coming with ego, then musar is not going to penetrate to the right place. And if the musar is coming with a lot of love, then it will actually work. So it's not an easy concept, because it's very easy to hate somebody because he's different from you. It's the hardest thing to accept and to tolerate and to love another person, even though you don't agree 100% with what they think, how they act, anything.
It's probably easier to love them.
That's the biggest problem you just answered yourself. Our biggest problem in regards to how we relate to other people is our own ego. And if I will now fire my ego and kick him aside, my life will be perfect. All my problems is my ego. Any problem that you're dealing with is your own yeshut, is my ego. That's why the greatest, they didn't have an ego. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. No ego. The Torah is not saying ego. The Torah is saying he was humble. The Torah was saying no yeshut. In our terminology, it's ego. Now, if you now step on your ego, you completely diminish your ego, v'ani afar ka'efer, then you'll see you have no problems. You'll accept any person around you because in your eyes, they're greater than you. Our problem is that we don't accept people because we think we're greater than them. Who says that I'm greater than that person? So our main obstacle in our life is our ego. That's why our Torah teaches us constantly is to humble yourself and to make yourself a nothing and to make yourself more diminished and work on your yeshut. It's a great story that when there was once a Shiur Torah, it was the time of the Arizal, and it was one of the disciples of the Arizal who gave over a Shiur. And he was talking about such amazing concepts, such giluim, such depth, that suddenly Avraham Avinu walks into the room. And of course, only the Arizal sees that Avraham Avinu walks into the room. And he's talking and talking. Suddenly Yitzchak walks into the room, and then Yaakov, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, and suddenly all our sages are walking into the room. Now Rizal is like stunned because he can't believe all the neshamot are walking into the room. And suddenly, one second, they all get up and they leave. Later on, when he told them, you know, what just happened, so they said, okay, so why did they leave? So he says, for 1 second, you had an ounce of, I revealed it, I found it, a little bit of a speck of dust, of a little bit of gava, they couldn't stay in the room. They had to leave right away. They couldn't stand the ego, the yeshut, the me. So this is talking in a biblical sense, that sometimes, you know, you sit, you think, you realize a big chidush. You didn't realize anything. Moshe Rabbeinu already knew it. The problem that stops us in our life, in anything, is only our ego. If you work to practice to diminish your ego, you'll have great success. People have a hard time in shiduchim, their ego. It's just their ego. They're not willing to accept things that they're not according to their standards. It's in anything. Anything you point a failure, you'll see the ego is somehow... Why would I fight with somebody? Because I think I'm better than him. Because if I, in my eyes, see that a person might be greater than me, more knowledgeable than me, you know, I should accept what he's saying. Who am I?
How would you accept?
No, I'm not saying that you have to accept somebody with the wrong behavior. I'm talking about accepting a person in general. Because if somebody is doing something wrong and you know it's wrong, then you don't have any obligation in accepting their action, but you have to accept the person. It's almost, I'll give you an example. I have a child, and the child is doing something wrong. That's it, I stop loving him. I'm going to stop feeding him anymore because he did something wrong. I know he did something wrong. I'm going to punish him for doing something wrong. I'm going to educate him for doing something wrong. But am I going to stop loving him? I'm not going to give him dinner that tonight because he didn't behave nice. No, it's two separate things. I have to hate his action, but his essence, I don't hate. It's still my son. I still have to love him. I still have to accept him, even though I'm very not happy with his behavior right now. It's two separate things. This is what's called chitzoniyut, the external part, which is behavior, and the pnimiyut, the internal part. The internal part is the same. We're all the same. If I'm going to lafnim, I don't know the right word to translate lehafnim, internalize, that we're all the same, that we're all equal, I'll never hate anyone. I can hate your acts. Yeah, you have to hate somebody's acts. Now, in regards to Ashkafa, it's different. That's why you have to be very diplomatic here. And that's why in many cases, I'm telling you about myself, when it comes to Ashkafa, I move back because I don't think that I'm any authority to override somebody else's Ashkafa. I'm a great sage, a great Rav. Maybe he has the place. But me, who am I? Why should I, you know, contradict or hate somebody because they're hashkafa? I have to accept it. I'm in such a low level that I'm nobody to come and look at somebody else's hashkafa and come up with my own opinions. Lehefech. This is the nisayon here. To see if I'm going to try to, like, prove him wrong, that my hashkafa is more right, or to humble myself and say, you know, what am I? I sin all day long. I'm nothing. I was perfect today. I didn't say any Lashon Hara today. I didn't lie today. I didn't look at the wrong places today. I didn't do anything today. How dare I look at somebody else and come up with all these ideas that it's like this and like that. It all boils down to one nisayon, that how I'm looking at another person, how I'm judging another person. That's why our sages said, tell us, dan kol adam lekaf zchut. And if I'm constantly going to work on the emotion that I'm judging a person favorably, then at least in my part, I'm not going to do anything wrong. I'm not here to fix the world. I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not Mashiach. I'm not the tzaddik of the generation that have to fix everybody. Mashiach is going to come, he's going to fix everything. My main peula is to make sure Mashiach is coming and not to try to put things in their place, because I'm nothing. And the more I'm making myself nothing, the greater I am in bringing Mashiach faster and bringing everybody back together. And our main problem in our generation right now is only Sinat Chinam. And if I'm going to concentrate and put most of my effort and time on working on my Sinat Chinam, then I'm going to make one little spot in the world a little bit better. That's our main problem. And one of the problems that comes in between disturbs us is our ego. If you really work on yourself to diminish your ego, you'll be very successful in almost any place you're going to go. You're going to accept everybody. You'll accept everybody's way. We're all children of Hashem. Hashem has the biggest sorrow when we hate each other, or the biggest... You know where I see it? I see it with my kids. When my kids get along, nachat. And then they fight over something, a piece of plastic. It's mine, I took it. It's the biggest sorrow to see my two kids fighting over nonsense. And they scream at each other, chas v'shalom, or hit each other. That's how Hashem is looking at us. What are they doing? What are you doing? So, it's not easy. There's no straight answer. But the bottom line is that if you want to do your part, is you first of all, you judge a person favorably. Second of all, you first of all take yourself out of the equation and you're saying, how am I? Before I'm judging that person, their hashkafa, their behavior, let's see how I am. And if I'm 100%, then I have the zchut of looking at another person and telling him how wrong he is. First look at yourself. So when I come to prove somebody wrong, or when I sometimes look at somebody who's not religious and they're doing a million and one acts, right away I can arouse this hate towards that person. And in that moment, if I stop myself and I do a daily review, how was my day, and I'll find that I'm not such a perfect Jew today, then that says darshani. Don't run to judge somebody else before I'm 100%. So the trick here is to constantly not to look at the external part, at the chitzoniyut. At the chitzoniyut, the external part, you always have what to say. Look at the pnimiyut, at the neshama, at the nitzot zeloki, the godly spark that's in that person, that right now that godly spark is in exile. When a person has, even a person who's frum, and his hashkafa is all distorted, in the spiritual term, his neshama is in galut. It's in jail right now, for whatever reason. Could be that it's just, you know, when a person is not thinking 100%, means that the neshama right now is under the memshelet haklipa. The klipa is controlling that person, and a person can be 100% frum. 99% frum, not 100%. And he still can be controlled from the klipa, from one little act that he did. He opened one gate in his neshama, in his body. The klipa came in and has a chiza, has a grasp. Klipa is like a tick. It goes in, it grasps, then it starts sucking the blood, the tick. So the klipa starts sucking the kedusha out of the person. And where did the klipa will go? The klipa will go only to somebody holy. Why would the klipa go to somebody that doesn't know mitzvot? The klipa looks only for the holy people that has mitzvot, that has Torah. Why? Because there's a lot of food to linok. That's the terminology of Kabbalah, yenika. You don't want to give the klipa any yenika, any grasp. Now, even if you're, the more frum you are, you do one little avira, that's it. The klipa already has a chiza. Then the soul is technically considered under the memshelet haklipa, it's controlled. The klipa rides on the neshama. It's like a jockey. It's called merkava, it rides on it. So you can see a person that does a lot of Torah and mitzvahs, and yeah, he has some things on 100%. Now, if I'm going to go and arouse a fight with him, then I'm going to make it even worse. It's like throwing wood into the fire, oil into the fire. So I have to arouse my love to his neshama right now and pray for him, try to bring him closer, see what I can do instead of pointing a finger and judging him. Because that way, A, I'm failing myself. Second of all, when I look at somebody and I detect the negative, right away I will arouse that negative in him. That's why Lashon Hara is so bad. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. If I'm now looking at a person and I see something bad in him, First of all, it means that it's something, in some type of a way, I have it in me. You know the famous story, the Baal Shem Tov once went and he saw somebody smoking on Shabbat. He got very upset. Not because he saw a Jew mechalel Shabbat. That wasn't his problem. He got very upset because he says, if I saw somebody does Chilul Shabbat, means that in me, in some type of a way, there's a Chilul Shabbat. And he got very upset. What? In me? And then he figured out that one time, a Talmid Chacham walked into a shul that he was in and he didn't stand up. And the Gemara calls Talmidei Chachamim Shabbat. So he had in a very dakut, a very refined way, he had a Chilul Shabbat because he didn't stand up when the Talmid Chacham walked into the room. Doesn't matter how tzaddik you are. Could be that in a very refined way, you have something like this in you. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. Everybody we look at is a mirror. So if I see somebody doing something wrong, the first reaction I have to do instead of judging that person is right away saying, wait a minute, if I saw it, if the Ashgachah Poti brought me to this place that I'm seeing it, must be that in me, in a very refined way, or not in a refined way, I have it in me. Now, more than that, when I look at somebody and I see that something negative, and I start cooking it in my mind, I'm arousing that power in that person. Just by thinking. Excuse me?
No, my neighbor, like, he, the shot was a comfortless. He drove through and he gave me such a, face.
So in your mind right now, you have to, if you want to analyze the situation, you're saying, first of all, in a very refined way, there's some type of this chutzpahdik thing in me that sometimes maybe will mock something that I'm not happy about. Second of all, yeah, you have to write on this board, arouse such rachamim on him, because if you now arouse what's called judgments against him, look at him, look how he's driving, look how he smiled at me. Right away, you are arousing the name against him. No, that's what happens. When I think that, I don't have to say that. I just think that. Our machshava is so powerful. Our thought is so powerful that by me thinking about that person, I'm arousing the exact same hamshacha in the spiritual world on him. This is what's called le'orer dinim. I'm arousing judgment against that person. But if I now judge him favorably and I say, oh, miskin, he doesn't know. I'm going to now go and pray for him, and etc., etc. You're arousing rachamim on that person. So our mind and speech are so powerful that what I say about another person, I actually arouse that power. I can call now a person, look at that liar. I'm arousing the power of lying in that person. I'm giving it koach. That's why you see a lot of mothers, they call the little child, oh, tzaddik, that tzaddik, you're such a tzaddik. Yeah, because you're arousing the powers of the tzaddik in that neshama. Our mouth is so powerful, that's why Lashon Hara is one of the most severe things, because not because of the actual concept that I'm going and talking bad about somebody. That's in itself disgusting. But I'm arousing that power in that person. I have the power to ignite it. That's why, for your question, yeah, you have to do such avodah. When Hashem shows you something, right away, you have to put this line. Okay, first of all, to judge him, to kaf schut. Second of all, let me look at myself. Third of all, miskin, that soul, it's trapped in this body right now. Let me arouse a lot of mercy on that soul. Let me pray for that person. It's not easy. Because our natural inclination is right away to... And it's only because of our ego. That's why we say every time when we finish davening, I'm nothing. I want my me to be as humble as possible. That's why we finish the prayer. I don't want ego. I have Yeshut, I'll never accept Hashem. If I have an ounce of ego in me, I'm not a kli ra'uy. I'm not a vessel to accept the light of Hashem. And that's why we complain all day long. I'm so frum, nothing's working out. I have a betzara this big. This is not working out. That, yeah. Because you're not even giving room for Hashem to come in. Hashem will never come in. Be'atar pagum. In a place that is not befitting. We're going to learn now. V'asitim li'migdash v'shachanti betocham. מהי בתוכם? שזה בתוכו. בתוכם is plural. Say just say, what do you mean? בתוכם. מקדש is one, מקדש is a sanctuary. עשיתם לי מקדש, one מקדש, ושכנתי בתוכו, in him. Why is saying mem, plural? Because it says that בתוכה means each and every one of you. That's the מקדש. Hashem says, בני, עשיתם לי מקדש, ושכנתי בתוכם. You make your body a מקדש, I'll dwell in you. You make your home a מקדש, I'll dwell in your home. You make your mind a מקדש, I'll dwell in your mind. You make your business a מקדש, I'll dwell in your business. A מקדש is a holy place. It's pure, it's clean. If my מקדש is not holy, Hashem is not going to dwell there. And then I can complain till tomorrow that I have issues and problems. So it all boils down. We have to look at the world with a mirror, that I have to look at myself. Because if I'm looking at the world, I'm judging the entire world. The trick here is to have a mirror. It's constantly to judge myself. If I'm in the action of judging myself all day long, then I'm never going to judge the world, and I'm going to be constantly in a motion of refining myself. I'm not going to have problems with anyone else. Because I'm not that great. There's one rabbi, a very special man, passed away a few years ago. And he was known to be a great shadchan. A great matchmaker. And you know why? He would take the boy before the shidduch, take the girl, talk to them, prepare them. And then he would tell them right before they go on their first date, you're not that great. That's it. You're not that great. Don't go to the shidduch all like... No. Tell them, you're not that great. She's not that great. You're also not that great. That's it. That's the problem with most people, that any interaction that they're coming into, especially in Shidduchim, they come with an ego. Oh, I have to get Prince Charming because I'm that great. Oh, you're not that great.
But people can't handle that, though. Like,
that's a total different thing.
So how practically, like let's say,
no, you have to take it in the right perspective. Is that first of all, you have to have what's called a chassidish ego. You have to have an ego. But at the same time, you know, I'll tell you where we learn it from, and that's how we have to conduct ourselves. The Torah was given on Har Sinai. Har is a mountain. Powerful thing, a big thing, something you see from far away. But Sinai, you know what Sinai means? Small, humble. You know the famous Midrash, when Hashem wanted to give the Torah, all the mountains were fighting. One mountain said, I'm the tallest. One mountain said, I'm the widest. One mountain said, I have the most trees on me. The only one who didn't say anything was Har Sinai. He just didn't say anything. So Hashem says, okay, I'm giving the Torah on this mountain, the most humble one. So there comes the question. So if Hashem wanted humbleness, why didn't he give it in a valley? Why didn't he give it on a flat line? Why does it have to be on a mountain? So we learn from that we have to be a mountain. You have to have some type of an ego, a positive ego. You have to be a mountain. You have to be strong. You have to be big. You have to be shown from far away. But at the same time, you have to be very, very humble. Sinai, very small. That's why you see the great Chachamim. They're huge. They're mountains. That's how they're called. The Chachamim in the Torah are called a mountain. But they're Har Sinai. Tzanua. Humble. So I have to have an ego. I have to know my malot. You have to know your virtues and your talents. And you have to concentrate on them and meditate on them and you have to nourish them. But at the same time, you have to do it with a lot of anava. You have to balance it. Everything in this world has to be balanced. I don't know how much you're learning the Talmud of the Eser Sfirot, but you see that everything has to be balanced. All the Sfirot, this has to be a balance. Keter and Malchut and Yesod are the center. The rest, you know, they're balancing it. Everything in our life has to be balanced. If you don't balance it, that's why we have our whole life is nourished from it. That's how we started. The tree of knowledge, it's a da'at tovera, has to be balanced. So you have to have a lot of ego, but at the same time, you have to have the ego under control. That's what we learned last week with the concept of the bull. You know, the last week's parsha was seemingly a little bit boring with all the mishpatim. But we learn from that so many amazing lessons. And one of them, it's talking about the bull that gores. If it gores once, you know, if it hits somebody once, then you only pay 50% of the damage. Second time, 50%, only the third time, then you pay full damage. All these laws about a bull, about a bull. Who cares about a bull? I don't have a bull. Who has bulls? 500 years ago they had them. I don't have them now. The point is that it teaches you that you're in your body, you have a nefesh be'emit, an animal soul. It's like a bull. Now, if you point it to a positive side, so we know, the power of the shor makes a lot of things grow. But if you let the bull go and it goes to a negative place, then it becomes a wild bull, then it does this damages. There's more, the more depth into that, but the point is that I have some type of an animal in me, it just has to be controlled. That's a lot of our avodah. So I back to the concept of the ego. Yeah, you have to have a lot of confidence and self-respect and to know your ma'alot and all these good things. But on the same time, you have to be humble and you have to look at yourself and say, okay, I'm not that great. Because when you're looking at, if we're talking about the inyan of a shidur, of a date, you're looking at the other person and you just want to see a perfect person. And then you start seeing, oh, you know, he's not perfect here and he's not perfect there and he thinks like this and he thinks. So you start from 100%, goes to 95%, to 92%, to 87%. And then you suddenly come to like 60%. You're like, okay. That's where you have to say, okay, I'm not that great. What am I offering? I'm also a little bit like this and like that. It has to come in a very healthy balance. If you have a healthy balance, then there's no problem. But our ego has to be under control because most of our problems come from our ego. And if you have to take something out of this shul today, is how to control your ego. And I know you're looking at me and saying, oh, no, I don't have an ego. What is he talking about? That's already the ego.